Hello, hello, and welcome to Ask the Kabbalist. With me, as always, is Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Hi.
We will remind you that you can send questions to our show on tv.kabbalah.info. We have our Ask the Kabbalist page there, and you can submit video questions, audio questions, text questions at any time. We'll begin right away with our first question, and it's a video question. It's coming from Johnny from Detroit. Let's watch it.
Hello, my name is Johnny. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and my question is, how is Kabbalah different from any other religion in the world?
First of all, Kabbalah is not a religion. Kabbalah is a science. It's a wisdom about our world and also about the world that is hidden from us, about both parts of reality. We live in a reality that is incomplete. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Where do all the events and forces which govern us come from? There is much that we don't know about our world, and we don't even know whether we'll ever find out. I have no idea what's going to happen in the next moment, and usually when I do something, I don't know what will be the outcome, the result. I don't have the whole picture of reality, the beginning, the end, and me in between. I have no idea. And also, I don't know what happens. I pass away. What happens later? I was born. Where did I come from? So it turns out that I see and that I feel only one small part of reality. That's it. And the wisdom of Kabbalah opens up the whole of reality. There are such people who have revealed the entire reality. They're called Kabbalists, meaning that they include within them the whole of reality. They've developed themselves to such an extent to which they can perceive the whole of reality, and then they tell us how to do that. They tell us also a bit about that reality, but mostly they tell us about how to attain that reality. And thus, whoever feels a lack for that in life, that he also wants to attain the whole entire reality, to feel why is he, where is he from, the purpose of life, what happens beyond life, and so on, he comes and studies the wisdom of Kabbalah. And he needs no special excellence or talents. He can be secular or religious, can belong to any race or gender. Like in science, there are no limitations. The only thing you need is a desire. The same with the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Yeah, but it does research something that is not tangible. That is not something that we can't see and feel.
There are many things in what science researches that we don't really feel. And gradually we build the senses for it, we research it and feel it. The same with the wisdom of Kabbalah. When a person starts working on himself and developing within him senses, qualities, additional tools and vessels, additional qualities, he reaches a state where he does feel more than before. It all depends on our qualities. In our five bodily senses, which we were born with, we feel only a small part of reality through vision, hearing, smell, taste, touch. But there are additional phenomena in reality that we don't feel. How will we perceive them, know about them, that they exist? We have for that to develop additional senses for the new phenomenon, hidden phenomenon.
Well, what is that research and the additional sense? How is it something that is really empirical, that is really concrete?
It's very concrete. The wisdom of Kabbalah tells us that we exist in a perception of reality in which we perceive, absorb. We absorb all of this conclusive information. And there is another attribute opposite to this one, the attribute of bestowal, where I reach a state that if from within myself I develop a sense, not one of perception, of reception, but of giving, that by doing so I as if come out of myself and I start feeling the world the way it is, not from within my vessels, from within my five senses, but the way it truly is outside of me, Then I open up a much broader world, a limitless world, unlimited by my senses and body, because my body is actually something living. It's like an animal. And thus I'm very limited by it. How can I come out of it and feel the true reality? That is what the wisdom of Kabbalah allows us to do, and this is something very practical. And anyone who really wants to open up this broad, true reality for himself that's outside us, the wisdom of Kabbalah allows us to do so. You only need a desire.
Okay. Can you give us like a taste of what's there? What's being revealed? What is that thing that is another part of reality? What does it mean?
We discover their powers. There are no objects there like we feel in our world. We discover forces there that govern our reality, that influence us and build within us the depiction of the world, and build within us the whole of reality and all that happens, and build in us the sense of time, space, and motion, and so on. That's what we discover.
The driving forces behind our reality.
We call them the upper forces because they determine what shall happen with us later, because we're a result of them.
Okay, let's move on to another video question. This one is coming from Kathy. She's from California. Another video question, let's watch it.
I'm Cassie from California, and I want to know, why do bad things happen to good people?
This is a very complicated matter. It's a good and simple question, but it's actually very non-simple. Because the truth is that in our world, we feel many phenomena that as if have no place. Why? What for? We can ask that about anything and everything. Something happens with the whole of nature, with my cat or dog at home, and with people, and the galaxies and everything. We have no idea, and in order to know that, we truly need the wisdom of Kabbalah to open up the whole of reality for us. But when we do, we start understanding the reason for each and everything, and then we see how this whole system is interconnected globally, integrally, in a total interdependent connection. And then we start understanding that if we see a part of reality, then suddenly this pops up, that happens here, there, but we don't see the reasons, and everything seems to us incidental. And not only incidental, but also unjust, as that lovely young lady asked, and so on. And if we see the whole of the system, then we see how these things, they come according to a plan that began a long time ago and many actions ago, and it unfolds through us, reaching its purpose, a predetermined one. And then we start seeing and justifying all of these actions, because the final goal at the end, we have to ascend to the degree of the whole of nature, which is called the Creator. And in order to bring us to such a degree where we will know and understand and feel everything, for us to truly to rise to the degree of man who stands at the top of the world, we thus have to undergo this entire process. But that opens up only on condition that a person sees this entire perspective. Until then, she's 100% right. There are bad things that happen to good people.
There's so many examples of people who try to do good things, even if, let's say, if they don't know what is good. Why?
We will be unable to do anything. We won't be able to justify the situation. We won't be able to understand anything that's going on around us, neither within us. And I can never justify that which is going on. Why am I living? Why was I born? Why was I born with such attributes and this family and such a time? Why do I have to live the way I do? Why do I have to do why, and why? I can ask why about everything, about every single moment in life. And I can give an excessive bill to the one who did it all to me. But the moment I open up, I unfold the entire system from beginning to end and see all that's going on, I have nothing to say. My mouth shuts. So first of all, we have to find everything out and then respond. Thus, the Creator, the upper force that governs us, is hidden because He knows that we're full of complaints at the moment and to the extent to which we can justify Him as a result of unfolding the entire process we're undergoing. Then He reveals Himself. Then the only thing we want to do is bless Him. You can say whatever you want, but that's reality. It's better for us to acknowledge. It's like in our world, a kid that his parents put pressure on him, want him to go to school and to behave nicely and this and that. The way he sees it, his parents are cruel. They're sending him to that school. He doesn't want these things. And they demand different things from him from dusk till dawn. Instead, he wants to play, he wants to do nice things with his friends. That's great, from dusk till dawn. How come? They gave birth to me? Did I ask them to do it? No. Besides giving birth to me, not according to my own request, they put me into school and this whole system. Why? How come? We're like those small children with claims against the Creator.
Who asked for it?
You made me. You gave me this life. How come? So what can you do? And there's only one solution for that. To discover, unfold the whole great, big, broad world with its hidden part. And then we'll both achieve not cursing our lives, not cursing the upper force, but we will live in a nice, good perspective. Everything will seem to us as a dream come true. You have no other choice. There's no other solution but to discover and see.
Okay, so Kathy, we have to discover this new reality.
Please do.
Okay, let's move on to another, perhaps more advanced question. This is another video question. It's coming from Mike, and he's from the Congo. Let's watch it.
Hello, my name is Michael Mukaya from Congo. My question to Dr. Lightman is, how do you use the three lines in our daily life?
The three lines in the day-to-day life.
Maybe you can first explain what are the three lines.
It's non-simple. He is an advanced student of ours. The three lines, it means that down upon us, in order to govern us, come down like two reins for a horse. Simply put, two forces, the good force and bad force, positive and negative. And these two forces govern me. If I know how to govern myself correctly by these two forces, then I start governing them. Not that they rule me, once from the right and once from the left, and then I'm ruled by them from above. But if I stop their governing and I say, no, stop. From this point and on, I start governing them. I start using them. How do I do that? I stop being influenced by them. I don't want that. I transcend my ego. I neither want to respond to the good things nor the bad things. I transcend that. And I say, that's it. From this point on, I am going to govern my own life. Give me these two powers, and I will govern them myself in order to bring myself correctly to the goal of creation, to that which I see as the goal. Meaning, I stop being governed, driven towards that goal as a beaten animal. But I myself start acknowledging that that is a preferable goal, and I myself go towards it consciously. And then, as I govern these two forces, when I use them correctly, wisely, by my own decision, that's called the middle line. When I use the two, in order out of these two, to build my course, my direction towards the goal.
Is this something that really every person can do and in daily life? Sounds like a complex...
Of course. Everything in my day-to-day life, I can use it this way, because what does it mean day-to-day or not day-to-day? Big things or small things, all things come in order to aim me at the goal. And if I use each and every moment in life correctly, starting with the smallest things, food, sex, family, money, honor, control, knowledge, at work, at home, with the kids, with my wife, with my friends, with the colleagues at work, regardless, I can always govern each and every state on my own in order to reach the purpose of creation, in order to match in my behavior the upper force through these two powers. And then I really use the middle line on a daily basis, each and every moment, and very quickly achieve the revelation of the whole of creation.
We are all influenced every day, every moment maybe, by these two positive and negative forces, as you said before. You know, we go through good situations and bad situations. Let's put it simply. How do you, you said you have to stop the influence of those forces. How do you do that? How do you not get influenced by these forces?
Well, that's really what he's asking is very correct. That is already a technique for advanced students. We learn that first of all, a person has to transcend his ego. He has to understand how he is being governed. He has to stop being governed. He transcends himself and then he discovers these two forces in a way that is unrelated to them and takes them as reins. And by these reins, he governs himself above himself. That's called in faith above reason. But he is governing himself. It is he doesn't let some forces, the creator, the powers of nature, or destiny govern him, but he does it himself. That's called man's inner psychological work on the middle line.
Okay, sounds...
The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about that a lot, and that's actually the goal. The realization is the goal of the study.
Okay, so let's continue to another audio question. This one is coming from Pete from somewhere in the United States. He didn't mention where from. It's an audio question. Let's watch it. Let's hear it.
Hi, this is Pete from the United States, and I was wondering about one thing in particular. We often hear that in order for someone to progress, that they should feel pain and want to move on. Is it okay for someone who's fairly contented with their life but just feels a need to move on, or does there have to be, like, real pain? That's it.
Not at all. The wisdom of Kabbalah is against suffering, and you needn't suffer. Suffering means that I'm looking for something that's already considered suffering. If I move my hand from here to here, is it suffering or not? According to Kabbalah, it is. Because I'm unsatisfied by my hand being placed here, and I'll feel myself better were it here. That means that I'm suffering in the current state and I move it to a better state. Suffering means the reason for movement. And it's not that a person suffers problems, illnesses, some real pain. Pain could be, you know, I put my hand into my pocket and instead of $10, I found there 20. It's as if more. But that's also considered suffering. Why?
No,
I'm telling you, that's how it is. Because I did not expect that, meaning the expectation for anything that doesn't exactly match what I want, what I plan, even if it's something better. It's also considered suffering. Suffering means that which does not precisely match what I want at the moment, what I plan at the moment, both for the good and also for the bad, regardless.
Okay, so it's about the expectation. I expect something and I don't get what I expect. Okay.
Yes. Thus, when we speak in the wisdom of Kabbalah about a person suffering, and that actually the entire wisdom of Kabbalah rids a person of the suffering, we're talking about the day-to-day things. From moment to moment, I move, I want to reach something, the tiniest things. if behind all these things we suddenly start to discover what are they for, why are they, what do I achieve as a result, suddenly I find out that before me there's a fantastic world, that before me there is full abundance. I'm not advancing as a result of even the tiniest suffering, like moving the hand or finding the $20 instead of 10. But I'm in a state in which anything that I want, that precise thing happens.
This sounds
you don't
like,
believe
no,
me.
It's hard to believe. I have to tell you that it's hard to believe.
I'll tell you why. Because I know in advance what's supposed to happen. And according to what I see in advance that has to happen, exactly that is registered in me as a desire. Meaning that if I see that on the table, there's a cup of tea, and not wine or champagne or water or anything else, but a cup of tea. As a result, I'll have a desire for a cup of tea. And then I'm in a state which is excellent. I always want that which is set before me. It's the very opposite to the way we live now.
It is, because we never see what we aim for, you know.
But if we always want that which is set before us, then you're really in paradise. You're in heaven. You always have what you really want.
Okay.
No one understands, but that is what truly happens in spirituality. When the wisdom of Kabbalah opens up the world for us, and thus we enter a world that's entirely good. I always get what I want, because I know what to want.
This is very mind-boggling. Again, I want to be clear on this. I understand what is the it's like there's complete balance between what nature wants to give me and what I want to get.
This is the meaning of make your desire as his, for him to make his desire as yours. That you and the upper force, you and the plan of creation become as one. In other words, only I explained it a bit more simply.
Yeah, the verses are a little complicated, but that explanation was much simpler. Okay, so let's hope we want the right things, I guess. That's the only thing we need. There is another question here that maybe we will conclude with, because we have only 2 minutes left. The question is coming from Stefan from Queensland, Australia. And he's asking, how much does the media determine our reactions by creating the ideals that we are supposed to aspire to?
No, that's horrible. Television and all the media, unfortunately, we have no idea how to use them. A person is entirely influenced by his environment, and we see how the world is suffering. And this suffering comes from two factors: our poor education in the schools, and the media that encompasses a person from childhood until the end of his life, really destroy our lives, both school, kindergarten, school, and the media. In short, the environment that gives us different information.
We have about 1 minute left. Can you say, like, in a very concise manner, what is the value or the values that need to be conveyed in the education system and in the media in order to create better society?
To open the truth to a person, the world of truth, the right, correct world, to give them the ability to see things, to explain to him where his free choice is, how the world is built, what can he do as nature, the nature of the world, not to inflate him by different crazy Hollywood fantasies, but first and foremost, give a person the tools to see this world in a perspective of what comes before this life and after this life. If a person sees it all, he's already happy. He knows how to get along, and he won't make mistakes. And this is what we have to aspire for, and our generation demands it.
Okay, thank you, Stefan, for that question. Perhaps we'll elaborate on this topic in further shows. I will remind you all that you can send more questions at any time. Just go to tv.kabbalah.info. On our Ask the Kabbalist interface, you'll find a place to submit video questions, audio questions, text questions. We'll be here getting those questions and getting answers for you. So thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman, and all the best.